Us for your amazing creation that we come into this world young and innocent, starving for love and learning about you in the purest forms. Help us, O God, to stay in that presence. Meet us in this place. May the meditations that rest on our hearts be lifted to you. May the transformation that lives in our bodies reflect your love always and in all ways. I love this scripture. This is Jesus being an activist in the most amazing ways. How many of you grew up sitting in the back seat of the Chevrolet station wagon on the way to a family's house with the lecture. You are not to act out. Children are to be seen, not. If I catch you, I will stop this car. Anybody? Well, I didn't hear that till I was well into my, all right, I was 4, maybe 5, when I remembered that opportunity to find out how to live to be 6. There's something about children that either warms you, blesses you, fills you, or annoys your very last nerve. There's rarely anything in the middle. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even if you love them, sometimes they're on your last nerve. Can I get a witness? Well, in antiquity, it wasn't any different, except that it was more pronounced. Children were definitely to be maybe not even seen, certainly not heard. They were property. They didn't have voice. They had their presence. Usually that presence was with their mothers during the day until they reached a certain age. Here are these children. Jesus enters this town. Now, the disciples, they're so good. They're such good lieutenants. They, like, try to get everything perfect for Jesus, right? So here's all these children, and what does Jesus do? Jesus is, don't silence them. Bring them unto me. He took a child, wrapped that child in his arms, and said, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Imagine how extravagant our welcome would be if we got that we're not welcoming people, God is welcoming people through us. Amen? Think about that extravagant opportunity for us to say, welcome. What was it like for you to hear those words? I think about this not in terms of just children. In many different ways, Jesus referenced children as humanity. All of us on some level are the children of God. What does it mean for us? You know, we send our kids to school, right? We send them to school. We expect they'll do their homework and learn a lot of stuff until they graduate. How is it that we could actually equip ourselves to get that school is teaching us the discipline of learning so that we can be lifelong learners for our entire lives? I just spent a couple of days at Pacific School of Religion, where I'm a trustee, and I learned something new. I learned a new word, a new phrase. So we have children and young adults and middle age. There's a new term called third agers. How many of you think you're in that category? They say that middle age takes us up until we're 45 or 50 or however many age birthdays you push that forward to. Well, once you hit 55, you're in a new age. Called the third age. It's the age where we get to begin learning all over again. And if we can cut ourselves a little slack, we might actually broaden and enhance instead of needing to live in that very small box we've spent 55 years creating. Don't you? I don't know about you, but I am such a creature of comfort. Has to fit my taste buds. Has to fit my temperature zone. Not that there are any witnesses in the room. We get to learn and open ourselves up in a new way. Jesus is advocating for the marginalized to be welcomed and embraced, that the good news he's bringing isn't just for a certain member in community, it's for everyone in community. For those of you old enough to remember the Chevrolet station wagon, you may have grown up with the great prophet, Mr. Rogers. Now, Mr. Rogers had a very unique way of coming into the room, into your living room. He would change his sport coat and put on his sweater, and he would change his shoes and put on his loafers while singing, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be mine?" Right? Now, I know that he caught a lot of flack. His outfit didn't pass the fashion police often, but he was so comfortable in his skin. For those of you who don't know, he was actually a Presbyterian minister. And if you really watch what he did, you could see that passion and compassion come through his desire and longing to help children understand the importance of their place in the world and how to play nice. And how quickly do we forget that? Yes, I mean, it's so important. Don't you remember sending your child to, if you had children, or maybe you were a child who got sent to your room because you didn't share, and now what do? Oh, no, we don't, because I guarantee you if I ask if I could borrow your car for a month, how about your iPad? How about your cell phone? Not a chance, right? I mean, how are you going to find out who's on Facebook? What's going on in the moment? What's the current event? Love, Mr. Rogers. He offers us so much to think about. It's really easy, he says, to fall into the trap of believing that what we do is more important than what we are. Of course, it's the opposite that is true. We are what we are ultimately determines what we do. So what are you? Are you kind, compassionate, giving, loving? Or are you the chair of the gossip committee? Now, if you're religious, it's in the name of prayer. Usually when we pray for someone who's really messed up, we need every detail in order to pray for the whole picture, right? Who we are in the present includes who we have been in the past. I love this story that he tells. It's a story about the Special Olympics. You ever been to the Special Olympics? Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. It's so awesome to watch this experience of these children and young adults, giving it their all, passionate about what they're doing. So here we are at the 100-yard dash. There are 9 contestants all lined up. All 9 of them are assembled on the starting line, and at the sound of the gun, they take off. But one of the little boys didn't get very far. He stumbled and fell and hurt his knee and began to cry. The other 8 children heard the boy. They slowed down, turned around, and ran back to him. Every one of them ran back to him. The little boy got up. The rest of the runners linked their arms together and joyfully walked to the finish line. They all finished the race at the same time, and when they did, everyone in the stadium stood up with a rouse of applause, whistling and cheering. And you know why? Because deep down we know that what matters in life is more than winning for ourselves. What really matters is helping others win too, even if it means slowing down and changing our course now and then. Children reflect what they learn. I was talking to Katina the other day, and she was telling me about the children learning their music. Now, she has triplets, 4.5 years old, and a 10-year-old, almost 16. She dropped her oldest daughter off, and the children were in the school, in the car, and if I get this a little wrong, you'll just have to grant me the permission to make it whatever comes up. The children were in the car, and Jennings, the little boy, was singing about God, and he said, "Mommy, I just wish God was sitting right here. He would love to hear me sing to him." Don't you know that that is his experience from church, not just a song? Well, he's being fashioned and formed. The next time he got into the car and this favorite song wasn't on, another song on the little CD they were rehearsing was on, and he was pretty passionate about this. He said, "That's not the right song! Put the song about God on!" And his sister, out of the mouths of babes, said, "Jennings, I think they're all about God." Then another trip, she turned around and they were all singing the song, each in their own way. Jennings was singing the top of his lungs. Skylar was singing and clapping unrhythmically to a song that didn't have rhythm, or didn't require clapping, I should say. And there's Peyton singing her heart out. Where do they get this? I bet you anyone with children in this room has very similar stories. This is a teaching, fertile teaching ground, not just for adults to learn about the grace and the love and the presence of God, but for our children to drink deeply of God's love in their lives, carrying them through hard times, each in their own unique way. Never, ever doubt that just because you're not back in that Sunday school room, you are not teaching our children. By the way, let me use this as a commercial. We need teachers who directly teach. So if you have the gift of teaching children and would like to be on a rotating basis, we need you. These children, as Katina said, are our legacy. How many of you sit here and can go back to some time in your childhood where you were touched in Sunday school by God's love, by God's grace, by a memory? How many of you can sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so." You learn that when you're little, if you come to church. And if you don't know that, you get to learn it now. God longs to be your companion, to journey with you, to continue to fashion and form you into all you have been called to be and do. The doing and the being didn't stop when you became an adult. Whether you're a child or an adolescent or a teenager or a young adult or middle ager or third ager or infinity ager. Hey, we're going to claim that one. Our opportunity is to be wrapped in the gift of learning, of growing in wisdom. It is from those places that we can serve in gratitude and share God's love. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for these children, for all of the ways in which they bless us, fill us, feed us, nourish us, inspire us, push us, sometimes every button, God. Be with us in all of those places. May we feel you. May our thirst be quenched by you in all that is sacred and holy. In Jesus' name, amen.